You're listening to Unveiling Mormonism from PursueGod.org.
When I was a kid, my parents promised us the ultimate dream, a vacation to Disney World. We lived near Chicago, which meant a massive road trip in a white Chevy station wagon. And for months, the anticipation was electric. But once we actually hit the road, that excitement turned into, you guessed it, the waiting game. Every 30 minutes, like clockwork, one of us would pipe up from the back seat. Are we there yet? That long stretch of highway, you know, the anticipation, the boredom, constantly looking out the window, counting slug bugs, that sort of thing. It captures the entire story of God's people in the Old Testament. For centuries, Israel was in the backseat of history, looking for the new covenant that God had promised through the prophet Jeremiah. If you grew up as a Mormon, you've been taught that we're living in the fullness of times. You've been told that the new and everlasting covenant was restored through Joseph Smith in the 1800s. You're taught that the old covenant was lost in a great apostasy and had to be brought back with new temples and new rituals and new requirements. But today, we're going to look at Hebrews chapters 9 and 10, and the message of these chapters is really a game changer for anyone who feels like they're still waiting for more revelation or more authority. The author of Hebrews is going to argue that the road trip isn't just ongoing, the destination has already been reached in the person of Jesus. Now, to understand the new covenant, we have to understand what a covenant actually is. In our world, we deal with contracts. You know, a contract is, I do this, you do that. If you fail, the deal is off. It's purely transactional. But a covenant is relational. It's like a marriage promise. It's God saying, I'm going to be your God and you will be my people. Now, in Mormonism, the covenant path usually feels like a contract. You're told that if you keep your end of the bargain, tithing, word of wisdom, temple attendance, then God is bound, he's required to give you the blessing. It's performance-based. But the new covenant from the Bible flips this script entirely. It's not about what you do to stay on the path. It's what Jesus did to become the path. Now, if you read the Old Testament, you'll notice that it's a series of layers, and each layer is building toward a climax. You've got the covenant with Noah. That's when God promised never to destroy the earth again after the flood, right? The sign was a rainbow. It was actually a war bow, like a warrior's bow pointed toward heaven. Think about the message that God was really sending to Noah. He was basically saying, if judgment were to fall again, then the arrow is actually pointed at God himself. Just keep that in mind. Now, then you have the covenant with Abraham. This was a promised land and promised descendants. And the sign of the covenant with Abraham was circumcision. And think about what circumcision was. Because remember, God said that through your seed, someone that's going to come from your family line, Abraham, the whole world will be blessed. Isn't it crazy that the sign of that covenant was circumcision? It was like it was a physical reminder that the blessing would come through a specific bloodline, right? It was like every time a Hebrew man and woman laid down in the marital bed, not to get too graphic here, it was a reminder of the promise that God made to Abraham. But the covenant from the Old Testament that most affects our discussion for today is the covenant with Moses, the Mosaic covenant, otherwise known as the law. Now, this covenant, the covenant with Moses, was conditional. Israel failed over and over again. They broke God's laws. They ended up in exile. And to manage the failure, God, in his grace, gave them the sacrificial system. We talked a little bit about this last time. Hebrews 10, 3 and 4 says that the sacrifices were actually a reminder of sins. They were like a credit card statement. They showed you the debt, but they never really actually paid it off. They were just like symbols of the waiting game. Now, hang on a second, because here's where the tension lies for my LDS friends. See, Mormonism teaches that the new and everlasting covenant is essentially a restoration of the old Mosaic style temple system, right? With high priests and washings and animal sacrifices, which, by the way, Joseph Smith taught would be restored again. You can see that in his own teachings. So the LDS perspective is that we need these old forms to be true to God's eternal patterns. But Hebrews 10:12 issues a direct challenge to that idea. It says, our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins. Listen to this. Good for all time. And then he sat down. So here's my question. If Jesus's sacrifice was good for all time, then why would we ever need to restore animal sacrifices? If, you know, the veil was torn, then why would we build new temples with new veils? See, the author of Hebrews is saying that the old was a shadow, and once the new arrived, the shadow doesn't have to be restored, it just goes away. We talked about last time the fact that Jesus, as our great high priest, actually sat down. Remember, in the ancient temple, there were no chairs. The priests were on their feet 24/7. It was an exhausting, never-ending cycle of blood and smoke. And if you're a priest, your back always ached because the job was never finished. But when Hebrews says that Jesus sat down, it's at the same time the most offensive and also beautiful statement in the book, because it means that the waiting game is over. So think about it in terms of these covenants. The covenant with Noah is fulfilled because Jesus is the one who took the arrow of God's judgment. Remember that war bow that was pointed up to heaven? And the covenant with Abraham is fulfilled because Jesus is the promised seed through whom every nation would be blessed. And then the covenant with Moses is fulfilled because Jesus is the only one who perfectly kept the law that we broke. This is what the Bible teaches. In Jesus, the waiting game is over. But see, if you're a former Mormon, you might still feel like you're in the backseat of that station wagon. You know, you might be wondering, do I need to do more? Am I worthy yet? Is there another key I'm missing? Are we there yet? Hebrews 10:19 gives us the answer. It says that we can boldly enter the most holy place, not because we've finished the road trip, but because Jesus has already arrived and he's opened the door for you and for me. Now, by the way, we have to be honest because we still live in a broken world. We still get sick. We still sin. We're not perfect yet. But I love what Hebrews 10:13 says. It tells us that Jesus is waiting until his enemies are made a footstool. So we live in this time that Christian theologians call the already and not yet. Our sins are already forgiven. The debt is already paid. We already have access to God. But Jesus hasn't come back yet. The world hasn't been made fully new yet. And really, we're still struggling with sin. Even though our sins are already forgiven, they're not yet totally eliminated in our daily lives. But here's the difference. For the person in a works-based system, the waiting is filled with anxiety. You're thinking, am I going to make it? Am I good enough? Have I done enough? But for the person who understands the new covenant, the waiting game is filled with peace and assurance. Because we're not waiting to see if the check clears. The check is already cleared. We're just waiting for the bank to send the final statement. If you still have one foot in the LDS church and one foot out, I just want to encourage you to stop looking for a restoration of old things. Stop looking for more prophets to give you more rules to follow. Jeremiah's prophecy has been fulfilled. In chapter 31, Jeremiah said, "The day is coming when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt." The new covenant that Jeremiah was talking about isn't like a new list of requirements. It's a new person who has met all the requirements for us. You know, when my family finally got to Disney World, we did finally make it. We didn't stay in the station wagon. We got out. We stopped asking, are we there yet? We started enjoying the destination. If you have placed your faith in Jesus, you have arrived. You don't need a temple. You are the temple. You don't need a sacrifice. He was the sacrifice. You don't need to earn your way. He, Jesus, is the way. So the waiting game is over. Step out of the car. Walk through the torn veil. Jesus is seated and he's inviting you to sit down with him in his rest. Read Hebrews 10 for yourself and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.